You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey, do you remember Lunar Lander? That was a cool game. You know what else is cool? Nerd Overload. And it's starting right now. It's a pop and geek culture show where we talk about the latest pop and geek culture news. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news, but first let's get into some things we've been checking out.
I don't know why I called out Lunar Lander. That's a weird poll, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, it works. Whatever, that works. It works. It works. Yeah, we're good. You know, I can do my check it out real quick because I only did one thing. We've talked about it a lot, and I can't talk about it too much on the air.
Because spoilers.
But I finished Legends of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, over the weekend. And like I said, can't get into it too deep, but for as much as I love the game, and as like up until the final boss, I was at about a 9, 9.5. The final boss was lackluster. I don't want to say bad, because it was fine. It was a fine boss battle. But I don't know. It didn't seem as epic as, like, you know, Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
The whole game leads up to that final confrontation with Ganondorf and then with Ganon. And it's so massive in scale and everything. Well, as massive in scale as a N64 game
could be. It's 20 polygons.
Yeah. Yeah. But this one, you just kind of walk into the castle and you just kind of fight a big boss that looks like the four other big bosses that you've already fought. But this one has a big red beard. And then he turns into another thing. And I wish I could spoil it because it has the final boss battle, the final boss battle, the second form, forces you to use probably one of the most underutilized aspects of the game and the one that I have the absolute most trouble with. Do you want me to say, or I could, no? Okay, well then I'm done with my check it out. I can't talk about it anymore.
Was it Magnesis?
No, it wasn't Magnesis. I would do super great if it was Magnesis. It was one, it was a mechanic that is not used in the game. It's present in all other Zelda games, but I can count on one hand the times that it's actually, the game makes you use, you know, the skills for the final boss. And it took, if you take out all the cutscenes, it takes like 5 minutes, if that, to beat, and then credits roll.
That's lame.
A little bit. I mean, it's still a really good game. I'd still give it like an 8, but yeah, that final boss battle was enough to drop it like a whole point for me. I don't know.
It's about the journey, not the destination.
Well, yeah, I definitely. That's definitely what
it's
this game
is. It's certainly a journey.
Yeah. And I could see where if you went in with
Minimal equipment.
If you went in with a tree branch and 3 hearts, you're going to have
an epic battle.
Or if you didn't do all the guardian beast things. I don't know if they like expect you to go in there once and get your butt kicked and then come back after you do all the stuff and then feel like you're a big strong boy or what.
Well, like, they had to have known that there's going to be the majority of the players are going to want the story and want to collect everything, because that's how every other game in the Zelda franchise is kind of built up. You go through and you get everything, and then you walk in. The whole point is you start off as just a little, you know, 3-heart nothing, and by the end you're a big strong boy.
Strong boy.
Yeah. That's just how the games are done. And if they expect you to go in, if they expected you to go in and get whomped by Zelda or by Ganon the first time, they wouldn't have told you, hey, go get those guardian beasts, go do all this stuff. They would have said, you know what? You just woke up, get to it, and directed you straight to Ganon and then told you, you know, it's not enough. Go and do the other stuff.
I think that would have been maybe a better overarching story.
Yeah, or put you there when you got your butt kicked the first time.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Had like before you went to bed?
Mm-hmm. Before you took that good nap?
Yeah, that good 100-year nap. They weren't thinking about the plot.
No, they really weren't.
They were concentrating on other things.
And I'm like wondering if people didn't do like the recalling of the memories thing, how less of a story you even have.
Oh, none.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why I haven't finished the game, is because I want to go through and get all the memory points before I fight the boss, so I get the full story.
I think I'm only missing three of them.
I think I only have, like, three of them.
Ah, okay. Well, again, not spoiling anything, but there is a mid-credit extra scene if you get all of the memories.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I turned on my Switch this morning, and it wouldn't respond to any button presses. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, that was an exciting...
Yeah, what were your Joy-Cons... did they lose the charge, or were they just...
They would light up and everything, and I could take them off and on, and they would do the click noise, but I couldn't get it to react to anything.
Oh, fun.
And I couldn't turn it off, because I can't get it to react to any button presses to shut it off.
Not even the main power button?
I held it down, and that screen came up, but I can't select anything on it.
Did you try undocking it, holding it down because the screen is a touch screen, and then tapping it shut down?
It wouldn't respond.
Huh.
I just left it there to die, and then hopefully when I charge it back up, it'll be okay. But it was weird.
Yeah, that's weird and not troubling. Great. Yeah. Yeah, uh-oh.
It's mad that I haven't played it at all in like a week.
Yeah.
Like, I seriously have not touched it. There's been so many other games right now that have my attention.
Right.
I'm still playing Persona 5, and it's still excellent.
Yeah. Still can't talk about it too much because, well, we didn't go into it last week. We promise we'll get into it this week.
Yeah. What else have I played? I feel like there's been a ton of games. What?
Thimbleweed Park.
I talked about Thimbleweed Park last week. I have gotten further into it, and the story is taking a twist for the weird.
Yeah.
What's a twist?
Yeah. There's something going on. Deeper than the, you're initially there to solve a murder, but you kind of solve it and there's something more interesting going on in the town. Like, maybe it's all a game. Maybe there's a bunch of robots. I don't know. And I'm kind of stuck. And when you're stuck in an adventure game, nothing happens.
Yeah.
What if it's like The Wicker Man and everyone's in on it but you?
Everybody's in on it but the four people that you play as?
Yes.
Maybe. There's not a whole lot of other people in the town. The guy that's the sheriff is also the coroner and also the manager of the hotel.
Oh.
But he plays himself off as three different people.
Okay.
They each have their own, like, speech, interesting thing about their speech. The sheriff says Areno after every word. Like, well, not every word, but in, like, every sentence.
Hmm.
The coroner says Ahu a lot. And the hotel manager... What is he? Abu. But they're all the same guy. They're all clearly the same guy. And if you draw attention to it, everybody else in the town is just like maybe I can see some resemblance around the eyes. But other than that, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's the same voice, same guy, everything. And I'm like, he's like, oh, maybe he's a robot.
What if the twist is that they're three different people?
Maybe.
They're triplets.
Yeah, they're brothers.
Yeah.
There's something in the pillow factory where the town grew around.
Yeah.
The big pillow factory.
Mm-hmm.
Something with an AI in there or something. And I'm wondering if there's like just big vats of this guy in there, like clones of this guy.
Yeah.
But it's a really interesting game.
It's like Pleasantville or not Stepford Wives.
Stepford Corner. It's a great game though. It's really funny, really well written. And I feel like I can't praise it enough. Also, don't play it on casual mode. Play it on hard mode. Because you don't get all the puzzles. It's just cheating yourself out of more game.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's like the puzzles are the game. So if you're playing it, if you're not playing it on hard, you're not getting the whole game. Like, and that's what difficulties in adventure games don't really make sense. Which I guess if you just want the story, it feels like you're not even getting all that. Because you're not getting the things that are happening.
Mm.
Oh, we saw your name. What are you laughing about?
You.
The hit anime movie.
Oh.
That kind of blew up in Japan, like the most popular movie of all time.
Okay.
I've seen a couple articles about it where they talk about it's really well written.
It's really good. Should we spoil? I don't want to spoil it because there is kind of a twist to what's going on. But it's kind of a body swap scenario where there's a boy and a girl, and sometimes they'll go to sleep and wake up in each other's bodies.
So like a Freaky Friday kind of thing?
Kind of. That's kind of a weak comparison. It makes it sound stupid. But yeah, kind of.
Okay.
It's hard to really get into it without spoiling that twist. But there is a twist that makes it really interesting and really ups the stakes. I don't know what to say about it other than it was really, really good.
Without spoiling it?
Yeah.
It's really emotional.
Yeah. I teared up afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
So is it like outside like the body swapping thing, is it more kind of a slice of life-ish type of story? Or?
Yeah.
They kind of meddle in each other's lives while they're...
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, did they know each other before this happened?
No. They actually live very, very far apart.
Like, different areas of Japan or like... Yeah. So they don't even go to school together?
No. They have no idea who the other person is, and they kind of have to put it together through context while living in each other's bodies.
What? God, what was that Netflix show where the Sense8 or whatever it was?
Yeah, that was... I think that's what... I haven't seen it, but I think that's what it is.
Okay.
It's not the same thing. They don't swap bodies. They can sense each other's
right.
emotions at certain points during the
day. Okay. I never actually watched Sense8. I just...
Yeah. Yeah, they share skills that each other has learned. So, like, if one was like a karate master.
Okay.
So, another one somehow got in, like, a bar fight or something and all of a sudden knew a whole bunch of karate. And they would, whenever there's any major, like, emotional kind of thing going on, they each felt each other's emotional thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's a thing.
I heard it was good. I just never watched it.
Season one was good.
Great hero syndrome.
Yeah, pretty much.
But the animation is spectacular. It looks really nice. A lot of good sweeping shots of landscapes that are pretty. I could have done without, like, there's these weird music breaks. Just like a song starts playing, and then they...
I think they want you to soak in what's happening.
Yeah. Also had a theme sequence, which was weird.
A theme sequence? Like an opening to a show?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's like, here's the theme song to our movie. It didn't get creepy like you would think an anime with body swapping in it would get. I mean, they touched on it because naturally you would...
Be curious?
Yeah. But it was just really good. It's a really good movie. It's a darn good movie.
Where'd you guys see that at?
Gateway.
Okay. I kind of figured.
I would highly recommend. Maybe even if you don't particularly like anime, because there was nothing particularly anime about it.
It just happened to be the animation style to which it is.
Yeah. But yeah, we watched the first episode of Mystery Science Theater, too. Really good. Feels like the original show. The all the visuals and stuff are appropriately puppety and cheap looking, like it's
okay,
supposed
good.
To look.
Good.
Man, I don't know what to say about it either, because like it's just the same. It's like it's back again, more or less. I mean, everybody does a good job. Crow sounds almost the same.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's
as
cool.
At least later season Crow. As
so they're mimicking the Bill Corbett.
I think
voice.
I think that's just the way the dude sounds.
Oh, is really? Okay, cool.
Because the guy playing Servo, Baron Vaughn, he doesn't sound like...
Oh, that's fine. And
yeah,
that's cool.
He has his own voice. A little more stuff going on in the theater. More puppetry going on there.
Oh, that's cool.
They're more inclined to move around during the shows because they got all that space to work with now.
Sure,
it's
widescreen. Sure.
Like at one point, the movie was Riptilicus.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Is a bad one.
Yeah. Naturally.
Yeah.
But like, he spits a lot of goop around. And at one point, Crow pulls out a barrel and pushes it across the screen so the goop falls into the barrel. It was pretty funny.
Oh, that's good.
Then later, Gypsy comes down and picks up the barrel, takes it away, and does a riff as she's going through.
Oh, that's cool.
Which, it's cool that Gypsy has a better, like, an actual... female voice that and she,
some kind of character,
yeah, instead of just being there,
yeah.
And also her coils aren't on the floor anymore, she's suspended from the ceiling.
That's cool.
As so Jonah doesn't trip over it. They kind of don't acknowledge how the bots got back onto the satellite of love.
Okay, that's cool.
They just kind of forget about the ending, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just a show.
Yeah, unless they elaborate on it later, maybe they will.
Maybe they will. How were the host segments, like the in between?
they were very much the same as before. There was even an invention exchange, which is
they brought it back. Yeah.
He made a geisha fan with holes in it to make bubbles appear. I forgot what did Kinga he's TV's son of TV's Frank, but his name's actually just Max.
Oh, that's cool.
I forget what their invention was. Maybe they didn't even have one. I don't know. But the look of all of Kinga's stuff is cool. There's like a skull theme going on. She's got a bunch of henchmen that are like space-suited guys with bunny ears that are bones.
Oh, nice.
It's a cool look.
Yeah.
It has commercial bumpers, even though there's no commercial.
That's great. That's great. That definitely leads to the feel of the original series.
Yeah, and the bumpers have like a house band that are these bunny astronaut skull guys playing instruments.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's really good. Like, I'm glad I kickstarted it.
Yeah, same here.
I don't feel burnt at all.
Good, good. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch them yet, but I will soon, for sure.
I was a loser. I didn't back it.
Wow. You still gotta watch it if you got Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Still waiting on my coffee cup.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I got my coffee cup. Got my t-shirt.
Oh, you got your t-shirt? Cool. I didn't go that far into it. I really just backed the digital downloads and then added on the coffee mug.
I gave them way more money than I probably should.
Yeah. No, I remember that night when we watched the countdown at Meltdown, that train wreck of a countdown.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. Mystery Science Theater. They had their own countdown to riff.
Yeah. It was rough.
Yeah. With those magicians.
Jeez. Why were there so many?
Because they're friends of Joel. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Joel, I'm a aspiring magician. Okay, I used to be a magician. Here, come on this thing.
Hey, that's great. Yeah, come on to the show.
Be really bad.
The mic will go out. It'll be silent during your entire
entire bit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Starbomb will be there.
Yeah.
For some reason.
For some reason. Getting that grump bump.
Yeah. The grump bump. Another Kickstarter that I backed came out, that Cosmic Star Heroine, the game by by Z-Boyd Games that did the last two Penny Arcade.
Oh,
RPGs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cthulhu Saves the World.
Yeah, that's where I heard the name before. Okay. Yeah, is it good?
It's very good. The battle system is like a combination between maybe Chrono Trigger and something wholly unique.
Oh, right on.
It's got a cool like sci-fi like Fantasy Star-esque setting to it, where you're like a sci-fi secret agent lady. And I've put maybe 3 hours into it, so RPG-wise, that's not a whole lot.
That's barely out of tutorial mode.
Yeah, that's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
But the battle system is really well thought out. Instead of having like MP, you can just use your skill. There's a lot of skills you can use once, and then you have to use a move that recharges them, doesn't attack.
Gotcha.
And on top of that, there's a meter that's constantly charging on each character. Mm-hmm. And when it's at its fullest, you do the most damage. So you want to time out your moves so you'll have them when that meter is full.
Gotcha.
So you'll do the optimal amount of damage at that time. So it's a balancing act.
Makes sense.
And kind of a risk-reward thing. Like, do I want to heal now and use this turn to heal? Or do I want to, like, chance it so I get that next bump up on the meter so I can do more damage.
Gotcha. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really clever. It's one of the better RPG battle systems that I've played in a long time.
Oh, right on.
Would highly recommend. Also, they really upped their graphics game.
Oh, okay.
There's like actually animated cutscenes.
Oh, nice.
They look about Sega CD level, which is appropriate.
For
the look they're going for.
Sure, yeah.
I haven't really done a whole lot other than just either play Zelda or be really sick.
Oh.
That was fun. I watched the first episode of the new season of Archer.
Oh, is it cool? Because it looks cool.
It makes sense what they're doing with it now. Like, I was confused on how they were going to explain this whole noir Hollywoodland aesthetic they were going with.
Yeah,
because they're changing the entire setting of the show.
Yeah. Well,
again, right? Because they've done that a couple times.
Well, Well, sort of.
Yeah, but it still fit within the time frame and the...
Well, their weird little world that they kind of created.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Where you couldn't tell if they were quite the 60s, but all of a sudden they have smartphones and it's...
Gotcha.
Like how their office always looked really dated, but they also have robots and cyborgs and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's Archer. It's whatever.
Yeah.
But no, it makes sense. It plays right off of the ending of the last season, explaining how things work. You haven't watched the last season, so...
We've been working on it, actually.
It's really good. Everyone is different within the noir aesthetic of things.
Isn't Pam like a cop now?
Yeah. Pam is a detective. Archer's a private eye, war veteran.
Okay.
Woodhouse was his partner.
Oh.
Mother is a gangster called Mother.
Oh, nice.
Instead of actually being his mom.
Ah, cool. It's my trash being picked up in the background.
Cheryl's pretty much the same. She is still an heiress from a rich family. Mm-hmm. Just with that whole, you know, 50s, late 40s aesthetic.
Mm.
It's Archer LA Noir.
Pretty much, honestly. Pretty much.
Man, that was a great game. I wish they'd do another one of those.
Except for that studio went under.
Yeah, it did. They were some really bad labor practices there.
Yep.
But Rockstar owns it. They could do another one.
They could, but it probably wouldn't be the same. I really liked LA Noir. It was really, really good. Plus, they had like a lot of Mad Men actors on it.
Yeah.
Which is a really good show. But no, Archer was pretty good. A new episode came out this week, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But I've always been a huge Archer fan.
It's a really great show.
Yeah.
Like, the jokes, like really hit. Except now that they're in the aesthetic that they are now, there's references you don't quite get. But yeah, it's super good, and I'm glad it's back. I was really getting an itch for a adult comedy animated series. Now I have to wait till summer for Rick and Morty, and I don't...
After you got that little taste.
Yeah, I got that taste, and now it's in me.
The little Szechuan taste.
You got any more of that Szechuan sauce?
Did we talk about the Szechuan sauce last episode?
No, I don't
episode?
Think we... No, we,
no,
didn't.
We did.
We definitely didn't.
We actually should probably hit that when the news part rolls around, because there's some stuff with the Szechuan sauce.
Other than the fact that it's Szechuan sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I've really done.
All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get in some news.
Yep.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 122 West Rensselaer Street in downtown Bucyrus, 567-806-5364, and online at subcultureoh.com.
Hey everybody, we're back. That was Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. How was your break? We talked about Monkey Bone.
So not great.
So who remembers Monkey Bone?
Awful movie from the 90s.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser's Monkey Bone.
The only thing... I know I've seen Monkey Bone, but the only thing I remember about it is the DVD had, like, Monkey Bone bending over, and the hole in the DVD was, like, where his butt was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was about the level of discourse for Monkey Bone, I imagine.
Yeah, that's about as far as it went.
Well,
yeah.
I remember the fact that Whoopi Goldberg played Deaf.
Yeah, that's true.
God, yeah. That's such a weird movie.
It is a weird one.
Also, and not like a good weird, just a weird.
Also, there's a cat girl. I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was a cat girl.
Wasn't Brendan Fraser like a graphic artist or something?
Yes. Yeah. Monkey Bone was his character.
Yeah.
Was like, he was a super repressed comic, like indie comic writer and artist. And Monkey Bone was like his outlet for those repressed, you know, feelings. And then somehow Monkey Bone became a real thing.
In the afterlife. Yeah.
It is cool world.
It's cool world.
It's cool world.
Yeah. It's cool world and Beetlejuice, because at one point Brendan Fraser's ghost inhabits the body of dead Chris Kattan. Who has duct taped himself, like, back together.
Yeah, because he was, like, ripped in half or something.
While Monkey Bone is stealing Brendan Fraser's body.
To ruin his life or something.
To ruin his life.
Or become a real person.
Despite already being dead.
I don't know. It's weird. It's stupid. It's a bad movie. Anyway, Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, why did we play that song? Why did we play that song?
because it's featured very heavily in the new Thor trailer.
Yeah, Thor Ragnarok.
Which is amazing.
That is a great, great trailer.
Like, go, just go watch it now. Yeah. It's really good.
Take 2 seconds, go watch it, and come back. We're probably still going to be talking about it. It pulls heavily from the Guardians of the Galaxy style of trailer.
Well, just as a whole, I mean, they're going full on with the whole space thing.
Well, they're going full Kirby.
Yeah.
Have you seen some of the designs of like the shock troopers and
oh, yeah.
in the background of the Game Master's like living quarters? Those are actual Kirby machine designs from
Oh yeah. Well, old they did comics. they did the same thing for Doctor Strange. There's a whole lot of Kirby art in Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Which yeah. is fine. I'm glad they're finally pulling heavily from his really...
I love Jack Kirby machinery. Like
oh,
the,
yeah.
The super crazy, intricate, like, no way it would exist in the real world, but somehow it looks like it makes sense. Tricks your brain into thinking that all the tubes and pipes make sense in this giant mass of whatever. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, like, Jack Kirby's art is always, like, was super trippy and just crazy. And to find, like, the really nostalgic era of Marvel Comics for me.
Mm-hmm. And DC, because he designed the Fourth World stuff with Darkseid and Apocalypse and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But getting off of that, the trailer itself was excellent.
Like the super 80s like trailer or like title thing they do.
Yeah, that was really
with
cool.
With all the colors.
Yeah.
It's very metal.
Uh-huh.
Oh, like, yeah.
Ridiculous metal.
Yeah.
He talks to the camera. He freaking talks to the camera.
Yeah.
He pulled a... That's me. Now you're probably wondering how I got in this mess.
Yeah. Kate Blanchett as Hela looks super great. That's super great. That scene where she crushes Mjolnir.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Did you see
that was great.
Did you see the theory that she might have the last Infinity Stone?
She probably.
Like the Power Stone. That's why she's able to do it.
It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Everybody
of
has
course.
A piece of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely kind of changes how I thought the title was going to work.
Yeah.
Because I totally thought Thanos was going to come destroy Asgard looking for Infinity Stones, and that was going to be the Ragnarok. Not the fact that the actual goddess of the underworld is coming to wreck house.
They gave her the hat with the horns.
Oh, I know!
I never thought that they would actually do that in a movie.
You think they'll cut her hand off like they did in the comics?
Probably not.
I mean, well, no, they have to, because there's always a hand cutting off.
That's, yeah. Star Wars.
Yeah, no, they've been...
They do it in Marvel movies.
They've been doing
true.
It, too.
They do that, too.
They've been nodding to
true.
It, nodding to the Star Wars reference.
Yeah.
In the... Especially the Thor movies. I like how the Thor movies, like, start out kind of tame, and then as they've gone on, they've gone super crazy.
Well, the first movie, they didn't know how...
To approach space alien god people.
Yeah, space magic. So they kind of set it on Earth and was like, okay, you know, just forget all that space crazy stuff. He's just a big, strong guy with a hammer. Just go. And then the second one was, well, maybe there's these weird space elves who was a doctor from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And now this one is just full on Jeff Goldblum and face makeup.
Not even that much makeup either. He's got like a blue stripe.
It's enough. It's enough to make it awesome. I hope he is at peak Goldblum in this.
Oh, I know. I know. I want him to have that stupid laugh and everything.
I hope he is at, like, Dr. Ian Malcolm or even, like, the pullout king level of, like, peak. He sold couches on a show. That's what he's taught. That's the pullout king.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Be cool.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm sad we... Well, I knew we were never going to get a Hulk battle. Oh God!
Planet Hulk.
Planet Hulk. Thank you. The Planet Hulk storyline, but we're getting snippets of it.
We are, yeah.
Because Hulk shows up in the trailer,
and that whole part—that's like the best part of the whole trailer,
yeah.
Right there.
And that is the most Guardians of the trailer, even beyond the popular music.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Just Thor going, yes.
And everyone stops and just kind of stares and goes, what? He's a friend from work. I know him.
But no, that's great.
Oh, man. And the fact that they've said it's going to basically be like a road trip movie with Thor and Hulk.
That's super great.
And some Doctor Strange, apparently.
Well, yeah, he'll be there,
he's
too.
In there at some point.
Yeah,
sure.
Which we don't actually see any of in the trailer.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah, you gotta hold some cards to your chest.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be in the next trailer once we actually get closer to the film.
I hope not.
I hope not, too, but It's the way trailers.
No, this trailer is so good that I don't want to see any more trailers for Thor Ragnarok. Yeah, I'm already in.
That's what I was about to say. Like, I'm already in. I'm sold.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sold before because I'm the weirdo that likes all the Thor movies a lot.
I like all the Thor movies too, but I enjoyed two more than I did one.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed one more than two.
I kind of like the buddy-buddy Loki Thor thing in two.
Yeah, I liked the fish out of water story from one. Also, yeah. What's her name?
Kat Dennings.
Well, yeah, Kat Dennings, of course.
Natalie Portman.
Yeah. She at least seemed like she wanted to kind of be there and was putting forth a little bit of effort in
the first one.
Whereas the second one,
she was asleep the whole time.
Yeah, literally. Well, the scenes that she was asleep, and when she was awake, she might as well have been asleep because she just was writing out her contract.
Yeah. That's true.
That's what you get with Natalie Portman, it seems. You either get all in,
mm-hmm.
or you get...
nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you get Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, you either
or
get...
Or you get a Star Wars.
Yeah.
You either get V for Vendetta, or you get the prequels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get the Black Swan, or you get Attack of the Clones.
Oh, man. But I'm super excited about this movie.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
The Marvel movies have got getting further and further, just going just crazy. Because comics,
they got to do something because they played it safe for so long. They got to start pushing boundaries.
This is true because, like, you know, Iron Man, Captain America.
Not saying that this is full on pushing boundaries because it's still a movie cast like 90% white guys.
What's the thing? And it's basically Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's basically Guardians. Yeah. In fact, there's even a scene in the background, a shot of the background with the collectors, like. Super House, so Benicio del Toro is probably going to pop up at some point.
Well, yeah,
they're actually saying that the Game Master and the Collector might be related, or at least be part of the same kind of cosmic race.
Well, they kind of were in the comics because
they were.
They're all a group of the Galactic Ancients or whatever.
They're children of Entropy.
Yeah.
Which,
aren't we all?
Well, yes, that's very true.
But no, super excited for this movie. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait. I forget when it comes out. I'm really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
It's sometime eventually.
It's probably
more sooner than later.
Probably summertime.
Probably. Yeah, it looks like a summer movie.
Of course it will be.
Yeah.
That's when all the good movies come out.
That's right. Oh, what if it's Free Comic Book Day? Because they always release something.
I think, isn't it Guardians?
That's true.
Guardians is in May.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I've already got my tickets for Guardians.
Nice. Let's go and... talk about some Nintendo Direct, because they had one of those.
Yeah, on Wednesday, they had a big Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
This close to E3, you bet they did.
Yeah. Especially since they didn't really do anything for E3 last year.
No. Which they've said, they've been on record saying they're going to do stuff for E3 this year.
Yeah.
Which is probably why you didn't get anything really big with this Nintendo Direct.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
And they kept all the Switch stuff really close to the chest. At the time, we still didn't even know the name of the machine at the time of E3 last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So what were the big things for the Direct?
Let's see. The big things. Well, ARMS and Splatoon were the main focus of the Direct.
Yeah.
And they each had their own little sections.
Mm-hmm.
They really explained a lot of the mechanics of ARMS.
And that's good. I think it was needed.
Yeah, it's a lot deeper than it appears.
Yeah.
You can actually customize each individual arm on each character.
I didn't know that.
You can have like a punch glove on one hand and a
slapper glove on the other.
Yeah. And there's different elemental effects of attacks. So you got, you know, fire punch or a ice punch or a lightning punch.
Yeah. They introduced another fighter, which is good. They needed that because there are six fighters in this game.
Yeah, I didn't think there were that many.
The roster is currently smaller than Vanilla Street Fighter 2.
I really like her.
Yeah, that was eight. Yeah.
I really like her design, though.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Min Min, and she's like ramen noodle themed.
Yeah.
She's got like a little beanie hat that looks like a ramen bowl, and her arms are noodles.
Yeah, except for when that one turns into a dragon.
Which when she charges up or something, it's a dragon.
Yeah.
There's a lot of charging mechanics going on, it looks like.
Yeah. A lot of weight and then punch or whatever. Yeah,
it looks really tactical.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Of the weird Switch games, I think ARMS was the only one I was really kind of interested in.
Well, it's like the only one there is.
Yeah.
That's not like just something coming back. Like Splatoon,
yeah.
Splatoon looks great, but it's very much just
it's Splatoon. Yeah.
Well, it's like I didn't care about Snipper Clips, and I didn't care about.
I've heard Snipper Clips is great though.
Yeah. Don't write off Snipper Clips. I haven't played it either, but I've heard nothing but good things.
I probably won't get it because you really can't. You can play it with one player, but it's. I've heard everything I've heard is that it's not enjoyable as a one player game. You almost have to have a second player to play that game. And it's like, well. Anyway,
just before anybody thinks about not getting Snipper Clips, maybe don't.
Yeah. But Beyond Arms, yeah, Splatoon looks good. They added like a PvE mode.
Yeah, where you fight against
salmons.
Yeah, computer controlled salmons.
Yeah.
Salmon zombies.
Yeah, something like that. And you're collecting like eggs.
Yeah, they're eggs.
Oh, so we're getting away from the octopus people?
No, they're still in it.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a whole section of octopus people as well. I think this is just like a whole just new horde mode or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's like the Squid Kids' day job.
Yeah.
Oh, killing fish zombie people?
Yeah. And collecting their eggs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of small ones that just drop regular eggs, and then a big one will show up that drops these golden power eggs that you have to pick up and take to a goal and throw them in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And it's a 4-person team, and you don't just automatically lose when all 4 people are out. You actually, if you can get over to a downed teammate and spray their lifesaver, like life preserver ring, they'll come back to life.
Okay.
So there's definitely a cooperative kind of bent to it.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. And use those to unlock special gear and stuff.
Yeah. It looks really fun.
It looks like a lot of fun.
I love PvE modes in shooters like that.
Yeah.
Very Junkenstein's Revenge or the the new mode in Overwatch, which we'll talk about later.
In a bit, yeah. But no, it looks really good. They also announced a couple of amiibo for that. Another 3 packets. Probably going to be, which is cool. They're really neat designs, and they're not just recolors of the last couple.
I wish there were more of the side characters, like the shopkeepers and stuff.
Sure,
it's more Squid Kids.
Yeah,
and Squid,
mm-hmm.
which I kind of don't like the ones that are just Squid because it's kind of boring.
Yeah, well, but it's one of those where they're going to sell the boy and girl Inkling separate, and then there'll probably be a 3-pack that has the Squid as the third one.
Yeah.
So you're not paying full price for the third one, but you know, whatever. Beyond that, they announced they had a bunch of announcements for different, like, smaller title games.
Yeah, they put a lot of dates on a lot of Switch games that didn't have dates before.
Yeah.
I think Street Fighter's, like, May now.
Street Fighter's coming soon. Yeah, they talked a little bit more about Hadouken mode.
It looks really cool.
It looks cool, but they're using, like, mixed assets. It looks like they're using Ryu's arms from Street Fighter 4, but you're fighting goons from the story mode of Street Fighter 5. It's kind of a weird kind of setup. And you have to use the Joy-Cons to, like, do the
Hadouken.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's the whole point.
That's kind of the point. But
minigame.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's not a standalone game. But yeah. As a minigame, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
You mean like Link's Crossbow Challenge?
Yeah.
They announced a bunch of 3DS games that I just couldn't get excited for. I'll be honest.
There are a lot of cool ones, though. Oh,
yeah, they're cool, but I don't know. I think I might be done with the platform.
I still like 3DS.
I like my 3DS too, but I can't tell you really the last time I picked it up and played it.
I mean, I played Mario Sports on it a little bit, which is fine. Yeah. That's my review for that. It's fine.
Yeah.
How's the horse racing?
It's fine. A lot of managing stamina, and you know, you don't want to tire out the horse too soon. There's pickups on the track for like carrots to restore it, and stars that if you get enough, you can use it as a boost.
Mm.
I don't know. It's not Mario Kart, but
yeah. What was that RPG Maker game?
Yeah, RPG Maker Fest.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to get an American release. I thought that was going to be a Japan only thing.
It very much is.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks cool. I'd be excited to play people's RPGs that they make. It'd be pretty interesting.
That's a word for it.
Yeah. I don't know why you would use it when you could get the PC version and then like make a legitimate RPG.
Yeah.
That you can then sell on Steam. Like,
yeah, that's true. But hey, whatever.
Good for the kids, I imagine.
Yeah,
get some of that Mario Maker
Yeah, that's probably why it's coming to America. It's very Mario Maker style thing. I don't know. It looks fun to play with. I might mess with it. It's cool that we're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Ever Oasis, that RPG from Grezzo, the people who did the remakes of Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, they apparently got the go-ahead to make their own darn game.
Yeah, that looks fine.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'll definitely play it. It looks interesting. A lot of town building, a lot of Zelda-esque adventure.
Yeah.
Was there anything else on...
Well, breaking news, you know, the most important thing, Monopoly is coming to the Switch.
Thanks, Ubisoft.
Yeah. No thanks.
We can all enjoy Monopoly.
Why couldn't it have been just any other board game?
Just any other board game.
Or like a pack of board games instead of just Monopoly.
Ooh, yeah, like a game night kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it suits itself well for that. You set the Switch down on the table, and it's an animated game board.
Yeah.
But
or just everyone sit in hands-free mode playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just...
Nobody wants to play Monopoly.
Nobody.
Nobody wants to play Monopoly.
I like Monopoly.
Yeah, I don't hate Monopoly either. I would play it if somebody was like, "Hey, you want to play Monopoly?" I'd be like, "Okay."
You know what I would say?
You would punch the person that asked in the face. You have a violent hatred of Monopoly.
I don't not like it. I hate it.
Oh, I'm right there with you. Fist bump on that, because I can't do it. I can't do it.
Like, so much. Like, you tried to get me to play that Mario Party mode that was kind of like Monopoly. I hated it.
You were mad at me afterwards. And it was only mildly reminiscent of Monopoly.
It was like, enough. I was like,
oh, yeah. If you want to see some, if you want to ruin Sam's day, either Sam's day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Make us play Monopoly, because that game, I hate it.
Maybe it's the same thing.
So much. Maybe. I don't know.
You're predisposed to not liking Monopoly.
I played it one time in college, had a good time.
Me and my sister used to play it all the time.
I won.
You experimented with Monopoly in college once.
That's about the most exciting thing I did in college.
Play Monopoly?
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, I think that pretty much wraps up the Direct for the most part. There were a bunch of Amiibo announcements, which only I care about, it seems. I'm angry that... we're getting those last three Smash Amiibo, and there are two versions of each, so they got to milk those last for every last little bit for the crazy collectors like me. Which makes me think also that we're going to be getting a Switch version of Smash 4 soon.
I hope so.
Because why would they put out the Amiibos for a Wii U or 3DS game? For a dead system and in a year going to be dead system, you know?
They would have to.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get some extra usability for that Fire Emblem character that I just do not remember the name of.
Corrin.
Is that who that is?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't really care about Fire Emblem Amiibos.
Barefoot Dragon Boy?
Yeah. And Girl.
And Girl. There's a girl. Yeah. Yeah. The Bayonetta variant, it's cool. It looks closer to the classic, like, it's Bayo1 and Bayo2 designs, basically. But the Cloud Strife one is just...
garbage?
Hot garbage.
It's Advent Children leather boy.
Leather Daddy Cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's about...
He does ride a motorcycle.
He does, yeah, yeah.
I'll probably get the Bayonettas and maybe the regular Cloud because I love Final Fantasy. But
well, I'm insane. So
yeah, you're gonna get all.
Yeah,
eight
you have to have all.
I have so many Amiibo that I have to get them all at this point. I can't back down from it.
You may have to find a new home for the Power Rangers.
Yeah, I know. I don't have room for the Zelda ones now. But anyway, we have a lot of other news, but we can hit super, super quick. We have some superhero movie casting news, and we can roll all these into one. I guess not just superhero, but like
just
overall
movie in general.
They cast Josh Brolin as Cable and Deadpool 2, which came out of left field. Didn't know he was up for it. Also, he is jumping the line between the Fox Marvel movies and the Marvel Studios Marvel movies because he's also Thanos.
Yep. Or his chin is Thanos anyway.
At least, yeah, his chin and like general like facial structure is Thanos. Everything else is CG. But that's cool. Brolin's a good actor, and I think he
I mean, he looks like Cable. He's got
looks like Cable, and I think he can play the straight man well enough because he was, and I'm basing this solely off of Men in Black 3, where he was young K, and he was the straight man to Will Smith's
goofiness.
And I think that if he can pull that level off, but with Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, I'm cool. That works. Yeah. Jude Law has been cast as young Dumbledore or Youngledore in the second
Fantastic Beasts. Which, what are they going to call that movie?
I don't know. I'm still holding out hope for them calling it the Quidditch whatever and not just going the easy route. Like,
they can't call it Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them too.
Yeah, they can't do that, but they'll probably do that.
Maybe they'll just come up with some title and it'll be like, A Harry Potter story or something.
:: Fantastic Beasts 2 is probably what it's going to be. But no, Jen.
The world of Harry Potter. The journeys of young Dumbledore.
Yeah.
The Wizarding World.
Yeah, the Wizarding World of Youngledore.
That picture was kind of whack, though.
What the picture?
Beard of him.
I haven't seen the picture.
Oh, look it up. It's weird.
Is it like a bad Photoshop or
looks, for some reason, like I don't know if it is Photoshop, but it looks really Photoshop.
Yeah, it probably is.
It's bizarre looking. Yeah.
I'm fine with the casting. He's a good actor. It's going to be weird watching him versus Johnny Depp.
As young Grindelwald.
Yeah. And I don't know, both Jude Law and Johnny Depp have that thing where no matter what role they're in, you don't see them as the role. You see them as Jude Law and Johnny Depp. So
That's accurate.
It's not going to be. That's accurate. Yeah, it's not going to be Dumbledore and Grindelwald. It's going to be Magic Jude Law versus Magic
Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow.
Oh, Johnny Depp was so bad in that movie.
Do you remember when Johnny Depp used to be a really great actor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was so bad in Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
I love that movie. It is honestly one of my favorite movies.
Except for that part.
Except for he shows up and just farts on the whole movie.
It's so jarring.
Yeah.
Let's see, the last one, and again, super quick here, they cast Dolph Lundgren in Aquaman as another villain.
Aquaman almost has his own Legion of Doom at this point.
Right now, Aquaman has more villains than heroes. So far, we have Black Manta, we have Ocean Master, and now we have the King of Zebel, which is a rival faction of sea-dwelling humanoids that create weapons out of hardened water. They're like Green Lanterns, but underwater. And that's where Aquaman's wife, Mira, comes from.
I hate it when you get that hard water.
I hate it. Yeah, it's the worst.
Leaves that ring around your city.
Yeah.
Yeah. but that means that not only do we have two named supervillains, we have an entire enemy nation going against the Aquamans.
The Aquamans. Atlantis.
Yeah, that's the word. That's the place I was thinking.
Aquamantis.
Yeah. So this, and they gotta put all of these villains in and explain them, as well as have an entire backstory for Aquaman, Mira, and his entire underwater race. And it's gonna be done in about 2.5 hours. Like, I don't know if it's gonna work. I can't figure it out. I don't know what kind of movie they're gonna try to tell. But
yeah,
2.5 hours isn't gonna be enough for it.
There's an enemy nation. Is this a comic book war movie?
Who knows?
What the heck is this?
Spoiler alert, everyone can breathe underwater.
Yeah. Okay, last thing, and we're running out of time, but we'll definitely hit it. And we really are only hitting it because we've mentioned it the last 2 weeks, so we got to talk about it. We've mentioned the whole Persona 5 not being able to talk too much about it or stream it or put Let's Plays or anything about it. Atlus,
the company that does it.
The company that does it. They've put like these crazy restrictions on talking about their game for the sake of spoilers.
You straight up can't stream it.
You're not allowed to. Well, you can stream it, but it's not, you can only stream it up to a certain in-game date, and you can't show any boss battles or any dungeons.
And you would have to have a separate capture card to be able to stream it at all, because the PlayStation won't let you do it.
Yeah.
It's blocked out. Every time you start it up, this section is blocked from recording.
Yeah.
Like, after you leave the title screen. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's super crazy.
It just shows a lot of they just don't understand how media works now.
Yeah. It's coming from Atlas Japan.
Yeah.
They just, which is the weirdest thing, because this game has been out for 9 months in Japan. Why all of a sudden are they, people who want spoilers are going to get spoilers.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about, yes, the Let's Plays and the streaming, there are a section of viewership that would take it as like, well, I don't need to buy the game. I'm going to watch the cutscenes and that's going to be it. They're going to find their way to watch these cutscenes anyway. There's also a large section of people that'll go, okay, I'm going to watch the first
couple of this. Yeah, and see if it's something I would like and then buy it.
Then buy it.
There's been plenty of games where I've seen a stream of it and I'll be like, well, now I want to play that.
Because the games that you don't know exist. And so, yeah.
There's also a section of people out there that necessarily don't play games, but they like watching other people play.
Yeah. Well, people, well, someone like me who have
buy the game anyway,
who I don't own the system that the game is on. I have no way to play it, and I'm not going to buy an entire game system to play one, admittedly, really rad looking RPG. I'm not going to drop that kind of money, but I'm interested in the story and the characters. So a Let's Play or a stream would be the way for me to enjoy it. And I've paid for enough Atlas games that, you know.
It's the way media works now, and it's completely backward thinking to do this kind of stuff.
And I hope that this doesn't become the trend, because not only is Persona 5 have these kind of restrictions, Puyo Puyo Tetris on the Switch has very similar restrictions.
Not as restrictive.
Not as, but you can't show any of the adventure mode at all. Not allowed. Which, one, it's a Tetris game.
Which also says it's not Atlas Japan.
That's Sega.
It's Sega,
Sega in this case.
Which Sega owns Atlas.
So. Well, yeah. But it's just kind of a weird thing that I hope the trend doesn't continue. And I hope more game companies don't like jump on this. Because, like it or not, there are a lot of people that have careers that ride on
streaming.
And, well, Let's Plays not quite as much as they used to because of YouTube's ad revenue algorithms aren't what they used to be.
Yeah.
So you can't really make money off that. I'm seeing a lot of people migrate over to Twitch.
Yeah.
Because
it definitely seems like Twitch is like the place to go now if you want to be a Let's
Twitch
player.
With donations and Patreons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even PewDiePie is migrating to Twitch.
Yeah. And that's a whole other thing about YouTube's ads and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have time for Yooka-Laylee?
Yeah.
A lot of the reviews for Yooka-Laylee have been coming out and they're surprisingly negative.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people complaining that it plays like an old platformer collecting game.
But that's the point.
Yeah, which is what they said they were making from the start.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it, is that there was going to be a throwback game. It's like people coming in and complaining that Shovel Knight wasn't in 3D.
Yeah. Like I haven't played it yet because it runs like hot garbage on my computer, but it looks fine.
It looks like Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, which is what they said they were going to make.
Mm-hmm. It's a crazy collectathon, which is Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Well, except for that last one where they built like cars or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird.
you mean Banjo-Tooie?
No, I'm talking Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. The non-rare Microsoft version that was basically like a test.
I didn't even realize that was a thing.
Like a test mode.
Mm.
Yeah, disguised as a game.
But it's just unfortunate for them to say, well, we're going to make this game, and then when it comes out, have the reviewers go,
ooh, this isn't bad. This is garbage.
It's like, no, they made
Polygon gave it a 5.5 out of 10.
It can't be that bad.
It can't be.
It cannot be. Polygon is so all over the place with their reviews.
Yeah.
I think it might be like who particular is doing the thing.
Well, no, because their review system works. Somebody writes the review, and then they all agree on what to score it, which is stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I think there's an age divide between the people who played Banjo-Kazooie and have a bunch of nostalgia for it and understand, and then the reviewers are either reviewers that are too young to have the nostalgia level for the Banjo, the old classic 3D Rare games, or are too old to have been super have that kind of nostalgia for it. Like they're not hitting the sweet spot.
I went back and played Banjo not too long ago, and I wasn't a huge fan of it previously, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's still a good game. It still holds up if you're down for that kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
And this very much seems like what Yooka-Laylee is.
It seems like it.
I'll probably get it when it comes out on the Switch.
Yeah.
What's like, I almost consider getting a PS4 because they got the Crash collection coming out. Crash Bandicoot, right? The HD remakes or whatever.
Yeah. I want that so bad.
I know, right? Plus there's God of War 4.
God of War 4: Data 4.
Yeah. Colin, we moved to Norway. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's mostly the big reason I want to play it.
Oh, because of the Norse gods.
Yeah, you know, not playing to my type or anything.
Oh, hey, Vikings.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what? We have one last thing on the list. We might as well just talk about it super quick. Overwatch has a new mode coming.
Oh, I did mention it earlier.
Yeah, you did.
It's a new event with a new mode.
And it's the Omnic War, which is like a prequel kind of thing, like before Overwatch disbanded, right?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yep.
It's like what caused Overwatch to splinter and disband?
No, this is just, it's Tracer's first mission.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep, it's the beginning of the sentient robot revolt.
Gotcha. Well, it looks cool. I don't know what it is, but I like super teams with matching costumes or like variants on a matching costume.
Mm-hmm.
And this flashback has that.
Yeah. And those are skins you can unlock.
And that's super great.
Yep. The characters you can play is Torbjorn, Reinhardt, Tracer, and
Mercy.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yep. Fighting hordes and hordes of robo guys.
And we'll probably have impressions on that next week after we've actually played it.
I know, right? Yeah. Trying to dust off my computer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and wrap things up here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us @nerd_overload and go subscribe to our YouTube channel, dang it.
Yeah. If we get 100 subscriptions, I found this out. If we get 100 subscriptions, we can actually have a YouTube.com/ nerd overload, whatever.
Oh, nice.
We have to hit 100. We're at 4.
Get the clicking.
Yeah.
And also, we need 10,000 views before we can monetize.
Well,
now.
Yeah. So
share with your friends.
Yeah, share with all your friends.
Right. Also, iTunes, write a review. Give us 5 stars.
That helps out quite a bit.
And nothing else. Just 5 stars.
Just 5 stars.
So, got to get up there on the list with S-Town and Serial.
Yeah.
Also, S-Town is really great. I meant to talk about that during my Check It Out, and I forgot. Next week.
Next week, talk about it. Okay. That's the end of the show. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.